Shine On You Crazy Diamond. That's Pink Floyd, and that went out especially for John Cherry in Horndean. It is Martin with you. It is the Sunday evening jukebox party through until nine. You know that anyway. As I say, I'm very pleased to say I have been joined this evening by local musician and songwriter Kev Williams, and he's going to be introducing us to his music project Big Blue Car. But first of all, I'd like to introduce you to him. Hello and good evening, Kev.
Hello, Martin. How are you?
And not too bad at all. Thank you ever so much for visiting us this evening. And initially, a big thank you also for getting in contact with us in the first place and telling us about your music.
No, not at all.
Now, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself, because you're very familiar with the Lee Park area of Havant, where our studio is, aren't you?
I am, and actually I didn't realise you were so close to where I grew up in my initial sort of younger years. My father used to live, my father still lives in the area, but he used to work literally a stone's throw from here. Of course, we've got the Greywell Centre, that's sort of where we all used to go shopping there, and he worked as part of the Lee Park shopping centre down at the end.
Right. Right.
When there was the Greyhound pub, which is now no longer.
Yes. Do you know, I'd forgotten all about the Greyhound pub. I used to go in there a few years ago. It was a crazy place.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's now the hub building.
That's right. It is now there on
that particular area. But and tell us about the 0.7 club. Because in your original email you said that the 0.7 club, which is sadly no longer here in this area, you used to do your practices with your original band. Is that right?
That's right. That's now, I think we said earlier, that was the I think Off the Record office.
Yes.
It's a community centre of sorts. When I was a teenager I used to go up there on Saturdays. We'd hire out, it was just a room with a kitchen essentially at that time, and we used to take our gear down on trolleys, and only one of us had the car, so he was the one that took all the drum kit in the back of the car or on trolleys, and we hired the place out for a Saturday or a Sunday morning, and just rehearsed and played stuff, and that was really how we started. In fact, I played bass then because the guitarist was at the time better than I was. And that was really the start of me starting to write tracks and then testing them out, letting other people play them. But of course, what we all did was just, it would start off as one idea and then end up as something else. We never got round to, it wasn't a gigging band, it was simply that we were learning and having fun. So that's where that started at 0.7.
Brilliant stuff. One thing I must ask you, because I don't know a great deal about the history of this particular area, and it's the first time I've heard the 0.7 club mentioned. I didn't realise there was actually a club at 0.7. Right. But one thing I've asked many people locally is, and not really got an answer from it, is where does the name 0.7 come from? It's a strange name because it's basically the area of Lee Park where there's a few shops and it's called 0.7. But I just wonder where the name 0.7 comes from.
Yeah, well, you had to ask that question, didn't you? Because here's another local that doesn't know. I just don't know. I think it's one of those things where everyone uses, I'm sure someone will know, obviously, but a lot of people refer to it, use it, and never question what it actually means. And I was certainly one of those people. So it was just what we knew at the time. That's where we went to rehearse occasionally. Yeah.
And there's another one in Waterlooville, where I live. There's an area called the Berg Estate, and I've never quite sussed out why it's called the Berg Estate either.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, we'll move away from that. If any listeners in the local area can tell me where the name the 0.7 area comes from, I'd certainly love to know. And also, if you've got some memories yourself of a 0.7 club, we'd be interested to hear that as well. But we'll move on and find out about your music. You've kind of touched on it already, but just tell us, it's a question that I ask all musicians I have in as guests, and it's an obvious question, but it's one that really has to be asked. Where did you originally get the music bug? Where did you originally think to yourself, I want to learn music, I want to learn an instrument, I want to write songs? Where did that first come from, and when?
I think there are several things that probably started me off. First would be my father's music. He loved music, didn't play, no one in the family played an instrument, but he loved his Beatles and his Rolling Stones, American sort of covers music band called The Ventures.
Oh, yes.
Very good, quite experimental as well, actually. Sort of like a Shadows, but they did a lot more stuff, more varied. So certainly he was a big influence on my being able to listen and sort of drench myself in different types of music, even though at the time it was him basically doing embarrassing dances in the middle of the front room. But so I think that would be an initial call. Then I think after that, it would have to be, as you get older, the music that you become interested in and what your peers are listening to. And I was very much, I was very much one of these people that liked music that was not necessarily on the radio. I was very much into sort of Tangerine Dream and progressive stuff and stuff that was slightly different. You could hear a lot of the your normal music on the radio that would hit you every day, but I actually quite liked the idea of something that was slightly different. So I was always on the lookout for something that was sonically different. And I think that started off probably when I was about 14. And in fact, next door neighbour had Tangerine Dream Phaedra, their first album from the German band. It was sort of like Kraftwerk, but much preferred Tangerine Dream. They did long pieces, all done on old analogue synthesizers, just banks of them. And I was just blown away by that music. I borrowed the album from him and eventually bought a copy or had a copy bought for me. And I love the fact that there was this music. It was very organic, but it was. I didn't recognise any of the instrumentation, and that was my first inkling that there was something else out there sonically that wasn't just drum kits and guitars. It could be other things as well. And I fell in love with the whole sort of Moog synthesizer and cool stuff that came after that. I've been very much into synthesizers as well as guitars and traditional instruments.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Now let us at this point hear one of your very own tracks. This is Big Blue Car, which is your, well, tell us a little bit about Big Blue Car, because it's a bit of your it's your musical project, really. Is that the right way of describing it?
Yes, it is, yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to use my name. The Big Blue Car moniker has been around for me for quite a while, and it just stuck. I like the idea, and actually most people, I suppose if there is a downside to using Big Blue Car, a lot of people think it's blues, but of course it's not. And in fact, Big Blue Car is, I show it on the logo it's on the website, and I've got an actual branded logo. Big Blue Car is actually the Earth. That is the vehicle that we're on. So that's where it came from.
Right, because that was going to be one of my questions, actually, where the name Big Blue Car comes from. So you've answered that one for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't trying to do a sort of shortened version of the BBC.
So. Yeah, okay. Right, okay. So let's have a listen. This is the first track from Kev, and this is a Big Blue Car, and it's taken from your EP Mortal Orbits, which was released at the end of August.
That's correct.
This year, and this is the same track. It's Mortal Orbits on The Flash.
Thank you. the water, sirens pulled him down. Creeping daylight blinds the night sky. Starfield stallion in a coal mine. Northward points to one cold straight line. Swung out on your own, gathered pace and ideas. Stars that re-guide you spin at your side.
Down on earth and can't let.
That is fantastic. The first track being featured on the Sunday evening jukebox party this evening, that's Big Blue Car, which is basically the music project of Kev Williams, who is our guest this evening. And every single bit of that track is him. It's you singing and you playing all the instruments.
It is, yeah.
On
yep.
that. So a very talented guy, sir.
Thank you.
How long did it take you to actually produce that track alone?
Oh, I think the problem... that's difficult to answer because...
I would imagine it is, because I would imagine that you leave it, come back to it, leave it. It's a slow sort of process.
And you have to. I think what generally happens with me is that either the music comes first, you get a great idea, or I'll have a block of lyrics or words that make sense. And they're basically on their own, and you might use them later on. But on this occasion, it was definitely just something that I put down roughly, which was the acoustic guitar and the harmonies that are in the background. I just recorded that, and that's all I had, a loop of about sort of, you know, kept on looping it, playing it, and trying to play stuff over the top. So I had that one sitting, that went down very quickly. Probably took me about 35 minutes to actually put down. And then you have to go back and then you program the drums in properly, make them sound as you want them to sound, record the bass. So, yes, it's one of those things that is a long, drawn-out process, which I personally love. And it's a question of keeping on coming, going away, coming back and changing things until you've got a complete track, and then you can do a mix down of it. I had the music there. And rough vocals, but I didn't have the words, so I had melodies, and the actually writing the lyrics on this one was the last thing that I had to do, and that took quite a while. There's quite a few words were written and actually said, yeah. As well. It's difficult to actually put a time on it. I suppose if we looked at hours or days, possibly if it went from start to finish, maybe that one track took me 4 days in total. If I had the time to do, you know, a full day, but then the reality is, it probably would never have. If I'd had 4 days' work, I probably would never have written that track. I think the going away and coming back is vital to songwriting.
Yeah. Do you find, especially because it's entirely your baby, you've produced it all bit by bit yourself, do you find that it, when you produce music in that way, that you find it hard to see it as a completed work? In other words, do you sort of come back to it later and think, there's still something I want to add to it? It's not... it must take a while before you get to a point where you think, I am 100% happy with that. That is perfect. It is finished.
I'm never happy with it. That's the problem. And I know that in the past, you can come back to a piece of music or what you thought was finished 6 months later and realise that there's something wrong with it, or that actually you've just had a brilliant idea and, oh, that should go in the background, or you should take something out. It's very difficult to stop listening to it, because it is such an organic thing. You're continually trying to perfect it. And, of course, you're trying to perfect something that you can't. It just has to be. It just has to go out there as it is, and hopefully it sticks with people, and you won't mind too much about your shortcomings.
Well, I can definitely tell you here and now that it's definitely stuck with me. Big Blue Car, the first track, Mortal Orbits. So once again, I'll tell you that's from the EP of the same name, Mortal Orbits, which was released in August, and we will be finding out where you can get hold of the music of Kev during the course of a programme. We'll be giving you the details. Get a pen and a piece of paper ready, why don't you? Now, you've had an interest in recording techniques from an early age, and an interest in capturing live, natural and ambient sounds as well. Now, tell us more about that.
All that is really is that I just love the idea of being able to record real sounds and playing them back. I can remember being when I was at school, our drama teacher had a big open reel tape recorder, and we had, or a few of my friends had, access to this. And what we realized was that it was you could plug it in, set the mics up, and you could record cymbals or drums or anything else that they had in this sound room. You could record it at different speeds and play back at different speeds, and you could also reverse the tape. And this was just great fun. You know, this was something that you suddenly realize, again, a bit like the synthesizers, that actually it changes a sound, it makes it something else, and you can use it in a different way. So I've always liked the idea, much like the Pink Floyd track we heard earlier. I love what Pink Floyd used to do with having real sounds embedded in the music. To me, that helps to sort of show you a picture. And so I've always liked to sort of collect and record real sounds to use myself. That way I don't get done for licensing. So so that's very much something that I'm keen to continue, which I will do on the forthcoming album as well.
Brilliant. Well, we'll be talking more to you, Kev, during the course of the programme, and in fact in the very near future indeed. But right now we have got a request in. As I said at the beginning of the programme, we've heard from our very good friend, a very good supporter of us here at The Flash, Sue Martin, up there in Liverpool. And she says, "Hi Martin, having just visited the splendid Double Fantasy exhibition up here in Liverpool about John and Yoko's relationship, I'm all about things John Lennon at the moment. So would you please play something from John Lennon?" And the one you would like to hear this evening is this one. It's called Instant Karma. Enjoy. Let's get chatting to our guest this evening, Kev Williams of Big Blue Car. Now, Kev, you sent us a lot of information about yourself and basically what you've been up to in the past. One thing I would like to ask you about is the fact that you've met and worked with Bill Wyman. So, tell us about that.
Yeah, that's correct. That would be in almost another life. That was with a band that I was with at the time as guitarist. That was a band called American in Paris, who were based in the sort of Fair and Portsmouth area. And what Bill had done in 87, 88, I think, if I remember correctly, he put together a project which used the Rolling Stones recording truck, mobile recording studio. And he had access to that with a producer engineer, and he wanted to go to key sites around the country to record unsigned bands, give them the opportunity to have a high quality tape or something that they could actually then would help them to promote themselves. And so he chose initially five or six locations up and down the UK, took the truck, had already had submissions from the bands in those areas, and then picked, I think, something like the top three, and then allowed them to record a day using the Rolling Stones truck. And he was due to go, he actually wasn't going to come down to Portsmouth, and I can't even remember how we did it, but we managed to persuade him to come down to Portsmouth. And we were one of the bands on that list anyway, so it was, you know, really we should have been a little bit more proactive anyway. So he came down and recorded all the bands, and we were included in that. And what he did, we didn't realise this was what was going to happen, but of those six areas, he chose six bands to be signed to his independent label, Ripple Records, which is based in London. So we were signed to that, or rather American Paris were signed to that as well. And so we actually had meetings with him. It was brilliant because we stayed at his house in Getting Hall as well. That was a blast. And we just generally worked with him, and he was a really nice bloke, and the whole point of all the bands that he was helping was that he was concerned about the state of music at the time. I know we've sort of touched on this off air, but he was very much wanted to invoke this whole idea of live music, yeah. Get it back up there, more sort of prominent than it was at the time. And this was sort of, you know, 80s. It comes and goes, but that's what he was trying to do, to promote nationally the
That was a fantastic idea, having a road show of that kind.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, and you know, it cost him money. And at the time, he had left Rolling Stones, so he had the time to do this. Unfortunately, what had happened was that he got invited to do, which would be his last world tour with the Stones. So he ended up doing that, and all the bands were sort of cut adrift a little bit because he was the only one that could make the decisions back in the office. So we sort of lost track with him after that, but we had a release in Germany, had what they call a test release, just to see how the music goes, and that was in Germany of all places. But it was a great experience working with him and the guitarist from the Rhythm Kings. They were just good people to be with, you know. It's fantastic stories that we heard from him as well, which we won't divulge.
yeah, probably better not. okay, fantastic stuff. Anyway, we're going to go to, this is another thing we're going to do during the course of this evening, while we have you in as a guest, is not only play music of your own that you've produced, but also play some tracks that are important to you, maybe very influenced you, or you just like them. The first one is from XTC, and this is a Ballad of Peter Pumpkinhead. Now, tell us why you chose this one to hear this evening.
XTC, one of those bands which is very, very English, should I say British, and were just had a quirky edge to them, and the way that the stuff was being written later on, they just produced some fantastic and varied material. This one, I just think, hits all the buttons, and it's a beautiful commercial song as well. And in fact, I've played this with a cover band, and it's a lovely song to play.
And it's nice to hear something different from XTC rather than the normal one that we hear about Nigel. Okay, let's have this one. This is XTC, and this is Ballad of Peter Pumpkinhead.